This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. But you see, our Messiah came to set the captives free. And I see too many people that love God with all of their heart, but are still prisoners in one or more areas of their life. I mean, there are too many people that call themselves Bible believers that are sick. Now, I have on the telephone Henry Wright, pastor of Pleasant Valley Church in Thomaston, Georgia. And Henry and I are talking about the foundational subject that he teaches on. It's called separation. And one of the things you hit what a lot of people don't even want to talk about. There are people that want to talk about psychology, but they don't want to talk about deliverance. And there are people that believe in deliverance, but they say that's only for non-Christians. A Christian cannot have a demon. Henry, please clarify this area for us.
Oh boy, here comes the big troublemaker question. The question is not, can a Christian have an evil spirit? The question is really correctly asked, does an evil spirit have a Christian? The issue is this, can a Christian be accessed by another kingdom at the spirit level? There are those that teach no, once you're born again, that your spirit man is immune. They say that good and evil cannot coexist at the same place at the same time.
That's a very comforting thought, by the way.
Well, it's comforting, but if evil and good cannot coexist at the same place at the same time, how can we be in this world? I mean, come on. I mean, that's an old ping pong game. I'll give you the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says it very clearly. He says, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, that's obviously addressed to believers, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Now we get into some thought process. What is the flesh that needs to be cleansed? And if this is a believer, then why does our spirit man need to be cleansed also? And we get over into Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 says, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly. I ask Christians all the time, what's that mean without them reading this? So that's easy. God needs to sanctify us to make us holy, H-O-L-Y. And that's not how it reads. It says, may the God of peace sanctify you, which means to make you H-O-L-Y, so that you can be made whole. And that you be preserved blameless in spirit, soul, and body until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord Jesus has not come yet. In each generation that has lived on this planet since this was written almost 2,000 years ago. So, if the scriptures are for instruction, then what Paul is saying, until the Lord comes, you have three areas of your life that needs to be sanctified as a believer. If it were not for the cross, it would not be possible. If it were not for what Jesus did in his obedience, it would not be possible. But what the Christian church is missing is that when you become born again is the wonderful journey into a life of being changed. When you became born again, you were still partially goofy. Oh, I said, I'm a new creation. Yes, you're a new creation, but you haven't grown up in who you're supposed to be. Because the Bible says from glory to glory, we are being changed into his image. So if we get into aspects of our life that are ungodly, such as guilt, rage, anger, we can go down the long list, then that's not of God. Well, where'd it come from? And what do you do with it? And the question, and my position is this, is that the sanctification of a believer as the work of the Holy Spirit involves the complete triuneness of our existence. And that brings us to another thought. Spirit is spirit, flesh is flesh. Now, God is a spirit, and that kingdom ruled by Satan, found in Ephesians chapter 6, that is a spirit kingdom, disembodied spirit kingdom by its class and by its type of fallen nature. Now, when God speaks to us, God the Holy Spirit represents the Father and the Word who is the Son. Does God bear witness from within us, or does he materialize in front of us and speak to us through our five physical senses? Well, no, God speaks to us at the spirit level because he is a spirit. God does not speak to your soul because your soul is the bridge between the spirit and the physical world. The only way that God could speak to you is either materialize, that you could comprehend him through your five physical senses, or he would speak to you at the spirit level, and in that pathway between spirit and soul, you would have understanding at that level. Well, that other kingdom that is there, that other kingdom that is there, is a kingdom that accesses us at the same level, which is spirit. There are those that teach that that kingdom accesses us at our soul level. Well, if it accesses you at your soul level and its spirit, how can it do that? Well, it could materialize, or the spirit could materialize and speak to you through your five physical senses. Wait a minute. Fear, hatred, bitterness, lust does not materialize and speak to your five physical senses because it is disembodied. It has been cast out of a physical world, judged in that judgment, and is now disembodied as a spiritual reality. The only way that it can access you and speak to you is on the existence and the level that it is, which is spirit. And so we just kind of, and I'll tell you what the big problem is, Sid, is that most Christians are told that they're immune to the devil except through oppression and depression. Secondly, they're told that they're protected by the blood. I'll tell you what the blood is. The blood is for forgiveness of sin. Hello. Forgiveness of sin. So if we continue in our sins as a believer, then does the blood cover us? No, you see, we have to understand and continue to teach repentance by believers. Believers that participate with sin need to repent. Now, the issue is not, can a Christian have a devil? The true question that Paul raised in Romans chapter 6, are you a servant of sin? Are you serving sin? And if we're serving fear, which produces high blood pressure, then we're a servant of sin, and that disease is a byproduct of that servitude. God did not call us to have fellowship with devils. God did not call us to have fellowship with fear. He came to deliver us from the fears that plague us, that we may be free.
How does things like inherited curses operate?
Well, here we come again with the reality of inherited curses. And that's so misunderstood. I mean, I've had so much difficulty with pastors in America who say, well, I don't believe in inherited curses. Well, what do you think a disease is? If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, not to have a disease is a blessing. And to have a disease is a curse. And it's very clear. So do Christians have disease? Yes. Christians have disease. Is that disease a blessing or a curse? Well, if you say your disease is a blessing, you're at variance with what the Word of God teaches in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, let's talk about certain diseases. Over 600 major diseases are genetically inherited. That means there's something flowing down through the family tree that produces disease out of genetics. Now, we understand also there's a transference of evil in generations, and Christians are not immune. How many of us have children as believers that, I mean, we've had children after we became born again, and those children ended up doing something very evil. How did that children, what is being transferred? Well, disease is transferred genetically, and so isn't what's called iniquity. Now, iniquity is totally misunderstood by most believers. We've made sins, iniquities, and transgressions a nebulous statement as if it were one thing. Well, King David said, in sin my mother did conceive me, but he said I was shapen and formed in iniquity. Well, right here in Psalm 51, we have a separation of thought. Sin is participation, would be my participation with sin by its fallen nature. And when I do that, that becomes, makes me a sinful being, whether I'm a Christian or not. I need to repent because I have participated with sin and I have allowed it to manifest on this planet through my will and giving myself over to it. However, iniquity is the transference of what is called the Adamic nature, the old man, the flesh, the carnal nature. And that brings us up into a whole new conversation as to what that is.
And that, Mishpoka, is why you need his full teaching on separation. But let's go back to, I know we're jumping around, but let's go back to the Garden of Eden. What was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil exactly?
Well, that was the first Bible in the history of mankind. It was one verse long. Boy, what would we do if we only had one verse to memorize as a believer? God set a tree in the garden, which was the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve did not have any idea what evil was. In fact, Adam was sinless at that stage in the dispensation of innocence. They were sinless. In fact, Adam in Luke chapter 3, in the genealogy of Mary through her father Heli, all the way back to Adam, Adam is called a son of God. And but there was a judgment that preceded the creation of Adam and Eve, in which Lucifer was judged and became Satan. And in fact, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And we're not sure about all that judgment, except that entire kingdom ruled by Satan was in the garden, invisibly entrenched in the garden, but Adam and Eve could not see that invisible kingdom, just like you and I cannot see that invisible kingdom with our physical eyes, because it is a spirit world. And actually, and I'll tell you how this whole thing is. Mankind really has been on probation since Adam and Eve. Because, don't forget, if we had an archangel named Lucifer that rebelled against God, and he was a created being, any created being, including you and I, can rebel against God. And we know that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and God made a provision for...
Henry, I'm sorry, we'll have to pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Mishpocha, you really need this full teaching on separation. We're making it available for a donation of $15 or more by Pastor Henry Wright. And it's something that's so eye-opening. I mean, for the first time, you're going to get a grasp at how to be free. I mean, really free. Title, Separation, donation of $15 or more. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzi, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.